Now, deal structuring. Deal structuring, how its deal is getting structured. Instruments, tax, compliance and consideration. Deal structuring instruments in PE under merger and acquisition is PE funds typically use the combination of equity, quasi-equity and debt instruments to structure the transaction. The key instruments include equity instrument, equity shares, then compulsory convertible preference shares, CCPCs, and preference shares, convertible preference shares, redeemable preference shares, debt and quasi-debt instruments, mezzanine financing, structured instruments consist of warrants, earnouts, and put and call options. Tax consideration in deal structuring consists of capital gain tax for unlisted shares, listed shares, indirect transfers, and dividend distribution and buyout consists of abolition of the dividend distribution. Since the abolition of the dividend distribution tax, DDT, in 2020, dividends are taxable in the hands of the shareholders at the applicable slab rates. Buyback by companies attract the buyback tax under the Income Tax Act. Cross-border structure uses, under the cross-border structure, use of Mauritius, Singapore or Netherlands holding structures. Because the treaty benefits have been curtailed in the recent amendment, GAAR, that is General Anti-Avoidance Rule, which prevents the misuse of the treaty benefit for the tax avoidance. Interest deductibility, interest on the debt is tax deductible, making the debt instrument attractive for the leveraged deals. Thin capitalization rule under the Income Tax Act restrict the expensive interest deduction when the debt is from associated enterprise. GST and stamp duty are applicability in the business transfers. Earnout. Earnout functions drafting and Indian specific issues. Per equity, earnout under per equity is a concept and functions of earnout. Let us see. The primary functions of earnout for the PE is bridging the valuation gap. Bridging valuation gap. It helps to resolve the disagreement between the buyer and sellers on future prospects of the target. Then there will be risk sharing, which shifts a part of its acquisition risk to the seller. And incentivizing management is encouraging the key promoters or founders who stay a post-acquisition to deliver the growth. Cash flow management also reduces the upfront cash outflow, for the buyers and align the payment with the realized value. Now, drafting of earnout. How the enforceability and effectiveness of the earnout depends upon heavily on their structuring and drafting. Ambiguities often lead to disputes. So, key drafting elements consist of performance metrics, that is financial metrics, operational metrics. Operational metrics consist of customer acquisition and market expansion, regulatory approval. Financial metrics consist of EBITDA, revenue, net income and ROE, return on equity. Then event-based milestone consists of the product launches, IPO filing, clinical trial, outcomes in pharma and biotech, as well as measurement period is typically 1 to 3 years post-closing in Indian transaction, though the shorter period are preferred due to the regulatory and litigation risk. Payment mechanism. Cash-based earnout are most common in India. Equity-based earnout, that is issue of additional shares, faces the restriction under the Companies Act, FEMA and SEBI rules. Control and governance rights. The seller may seek some influence in the post-deal management to ensure the fair achievement of the milestone. Buyers usually resist, citing the operational autonomy. Audit and information rights, as well as dispute resolution, should be forming the part of the draft. Then due diligence, warranties, and post-closing remedies. Due diligence in private equity is backed merger and acquisition, that is due diligence is cornerstone of the private equity. it is serving both risk mitigation exercise and valuation drivers. The scope of due diligence consists of financial due diligence, tax due diligence, legal due diligence, regulatory and compliance due diligence, commercial market due diligence, operational technical due diligence. Then warranties and indemnities. Types of warranties. What are the types of warranties here you have? The corporate types of warranties consist of corporate warranties, then financial warranties, tax warranties, and legal regulatory warranties, and the validity of the license, absence of the same, material litigation, compliance with SEBI, FEMA, Companies Act, etc. Right. Then operational warranties consist of accuracy of information contract. ESG and data protection warranty is emerging. Okay, that is not in place. So compliance with the sustainability disclosures and the Digital Personal Data Protection Act 2023. Indemnities. Indemnity consists of typically the negotiated for the specific known risk. Indemnity for specific known risk, which is uncovered during the due diligence. Its indemnity duration is 2 to 3 years. Okay. And PE sellers, when exiting, usually it registers broad indemnities, preferring the insurance-backed structure or limiting the liability via escrow handle. W&I insurance in India, gaining the traction in large transaction, especially the cross-border per equity deal, private equity deal, enables seller, including the PE fund exiting portfolio companies, to achieve a clean exit while buyers secure the protection. Indian insurance are gradually expanding coverage, but pricing and availability remains unchanged. Post-closing remedies consist of escrow and holdback, price adjustment consists of completion of accounting mechanism, then lockbox mechanism, which deals with the purchase price fixed as an agreed balance sheet date. Dispute resolution mechanism consists of arbitration, which is a preferred preferred mode with SIAC, LCIA or MCIA Mumbai, often chosen, and governing law may be English law. Emerging arbitration and expedited procedures gaining favor for time sensitive disputes. Now clawback provision is club deal and co-investment funds may agree on clawback obligations if the return fall below the hurdle rate after the distribution. Step in rights or put option. Investors may negotiate step in rights or case of covenants, breaches the governance failure. Put option is subject to RBI's pricing, and it is structured to provide exit protection. Risk management in Indian private equity transaction is, there are several risks like regulatory risk, tax risk, governance risk, technology and cyber risk, as well as ESG and non-compliance risk. Then approvals and compliance. Approval and compliance consist of the legal and regulatory environment, which has evolved significantly to balance the investor protection, capital flow management, and corporate governance. The key regulatory authorities consist of PE-driven merger and acquisition transaction in India, typically interact with the multiple authorities. First is a SEBI. Second, Reserve Bank of India, then Ministry of Corporate Affairs, Competition Commission of India, then Income Tax Department, sectoral regulators like IRDAI, insurance, RBI for NBFC, and TRAI for the telecom. FEMA and RBI approval. Since the significant portion of private equity investment comes from offshore funds, FEMA compliance is central. There will be an entry route, regulations, pricing guidelines, sectoral cap, and downstream investment that has to be adhered to, and for that there should be approval, proper approval. Then there will be SEBI regulation. SEBI regulations for takeover code, SAST regulations, then insider trading regulations, alternate investment fund regulation 2012, and delisting and buyback regulators. Competition law under the Companies Act 2002, Companies Act 2013, where shareholders' approval is required, governance is required, merger amalgamation process. Under the tax and compliance, tax structuring is often decisive under private equity, under merger and acquisition deals, and capital gain tax, indirect transfer rule, general anti-avoidance rule, and withholding obligations are required to be followed. Sectoral regulation consists of the PE funds investing in regulated sectors must be comply with the banking and NBFC, insurance and telecom. Typical approval workflow in PE-backed merger and acquisition deal. Approval workflow consists of preliminary check where it assesses the sectoral cap, FDI entry route and CCI threshold. The second one is a board and shareholders approval obtained by the corporate consonant. Then regulatory filing, FEMA filing, CCI, etc. needs to be filed properly, and closing conditions, compliance certificate, tax clearance, etc. should have been done. Post-closing filing is allotment forms with MCA and RBI reporting under FEMA, FCGPR, FCTRS or SEBI disclosures. Challenges and risk. Regulatory delays, especially in governance route, FDI approvals, ambiguity control under CCI and FEMA definitions, inconsistent tax ruling, that is offshore fund structure remains exposed to litigation, and compliance burden for the startup SME because many lacks the governance system and raising the per equity, private equity fund risk exposures. Technology and system process trends in private equity deal. Technology, deal origination and sourcing. A process consists of deal origination and sourcing, which consists of AI-driven deal sourcing, alternative data, digital networking platform. Under the due diligence digitalization, it consists of virtual data room, AI and NLP tools, forensic tech and ESG due diligence tools. Valuation and deal structuring tool consists of predictive analysis, scenario simulations, tax structuring software, and post-investment monitoring, digital dashboard, KPI tracking, blockchain for transparency, and cybersecurity monitoring. Exit planning consists of AI-based exit timing, digital IPO platform, secondary market platform, regulatory tech and compliance automation, FEMA and FDI compliance, and KYC and AML tools. Seventh is emerging technology trend, which consists of generative AI deals. Documentation consists of smart contract on blockchain, cloud native platforms, digital twinning, digital twin modeling, and under the challenges and risk consists of data privacy, cybersecurity risk, technical adoption gap, and regulatory uncertainty. There will be a risk specific to private equity led merger and acquisition and practical mitigation. How the risk specific to private equity led merger and acquisition and a practical mitigation takes place. The leverage and financial risk. Nature of risk. Nature of risk is PE-led buyouts often employ a significant debts. Leveraged buyouts, LBOs. Okay. In India, restriction on external commercial borrowing, interest rate volatility, and RBI's prudential norms heighten the repayment risk. Excessive leverage can strain the target cash flow, leading to the distress. Practical Mitigation consists of conservation of leverage structure aligned with the RBI and SEBI guidelines, stress testing cash flow against the multiple interest rate scenario, and exploring hybrid instrument. Exit related risk consists of nature of risk, consist PE investors rely on defined exit routes. And Indian capital market may face the liquidity constraints, IPO window closure or valuation mismatches, delayed exit reduce, IRR and lock capitals. Practical mitigation consists of dual track exit planning, that is IPO plus strategic buyer. That means it is a dual track. Then building early engagement with the investment banker and SEBI compliant. Then creating the shareholders agreement with the drag along and tag along rights to secure the exit options. Regulatory and compliance risk consist of nature of risk. Nature of risk consists of FEMA, SEBI, Competition Act, Companies Act, sectoral cap. Any oversight can derail the deal. Global LPs also demand ESG compliances. Now, practical mitigation consists of early regulatory mapping with a legal due diligence from Big Four or specific specialist law firms. Now, operational and integrational risk. The nature of the risk consists of practical mitigation is deploying operating partners with domain expertise, implementing the digital dashboard for the portfolio monitoring and incentive aligned management contract, right? Then valuation risk. Nature of risk consists of practical aggressive bidding, then over-optimistic growth assumptions, over-optimistic growth assumption, especially in Indian startup. Create mismatch between the entry valuation and realistic returns. Practical mitigation consists of use of AI-driven scenario modeling and sensitivity analysis. Incorporating downside protecting through the ratchets, earnouts, and liquidation preference. Regular evaluation to align the fund NAV with market conditions. Governance and control risk. Governance and control risk, nature of risk will be the minority stake in the Indian companies, limiting their control, promoter dominance, related party transactions, or weak board structure can impair the governance. Mitigation will be negotiating the strong shareholder rights, independent directors and audit committee for oversight, and alignment of the promoter incentive with fund objective. Now, ESG and reputational risk, nature of risk consists of the global LP, okay, increasingly insist on the ESG compliance. Any misstep, environmental violation, labor disputes, governance lapses can lead to the reputational damage, where the practical mitigation consists of embedding ESG due diligence in the investment process, adopting the SEBI's business responsibility and sustainability reporting framework. Then currency and macroeconomic risk. The currency and macroeconomic risk, nature of risk consists of cross-border private equity deals into India faces the currency volatility. RBI's restriction on hedging and exposure to inflation interest rate cycle. For USD denominated funds, INR depreciation erodes the returns. Okay, then practical mitigation is hedging through the forward contract and options, diversifying the existing domestic IPO or global listing via GDR, ADR, and sectoral diversification to reduce the macro shocks. Then technology and cybersecurity risk consist of the technical, fintech, and digital infrastructure sectors. Risk includes the data breaches, non-compliance with the India's Digital Personal Data Protection Act, and cyber attacks on portfolio companies. Its practical mitigation consists of mandatory cybersecurity audit. fundraising and LP expectation risk consist of the global economic shocks or the policy changes can slow down the capital calls, misalignment between the LPs and ESGs. Returns, LPs and ELG returns on the risk expectation can create a dispute. So practical mitigation consists of transparent communication with the LPs and through quarterly reporting, alignment of the fund strategy and funds alignment with the fund strategy with the LP mandates, ESG impacting investing, sustainable finance, co-investment opportunities to engage LPs more deeply. With this, we conclude our discussion of this topic. Thank you very much.